One of the most noteworthy fashion exhibitions in Prague in some time has just got underway at Prague's Museum of Decorative Arts. It features high-class silk products made by the Czech couple The Ashers in the United Kingdom. And their son Peter Asher is Ian Willoughby's guest now in this edition of One on One.
Newlyweds Zika and Lida Asher left Prague in early 1939 for the UK. There, Zika Asher launched a silk business that was soon thriving and began approaching top artists, including Matisse and Henry Moore, to produce designs for a special collection of scarves, the Asher Squares. Many of them, and other exquisite pieces produced by the company, have just gone on show as part of an extensive exhibition here in the Czech capital. And shortly before it opened, I spoke to the couple's son, Peter Asher.
Lida, when she was 16, I guess, her father built a magnificent villa on Sluna. She didn't spend much time there because she went to finishing school in Switzerland and then went to university in Grenoble in France, and was just a proper pre-war, westernized Czech lady. And then she met Zika probably sometime in the second half of 1937. She was fed up with ski clothes available for women and went to the Zika store looking for fabrics to make her own clothes. She was a talented seamstress. And that's when they got together, I guess, and started going on ski trips.
And he was a top skier, he was a competitive skier.
He was a reckless skier, which is how we've got Blazniewy Hedvábník. He competed in three world championships in 35, 37 and 38, and would have competed in 39, but he had urgent business elsewhere when a certain gentleman from a neighbouring country decided to go on holiday in the Czech Republic. He also was picked for the 36 Olympics, which, of course, were in Germany, in Garmisch, and unfortunately hurt himself in the practice race, so he didn't actually compete in the event. That was interesting because that was the first games in history of the Winter Olympics where they permitted downhill skiing. Before that, it had only been cross-country skiing.
You referred to their departure from Czechoslovakia. Could you tell us about the circumstances of their leaving?
Yeah, they got married on the 18th of February, 39, well after the Munich Diktat, I guess you call it here. And it was quite clear to them that they didn't have a future because my father was Jewish, my mother was Catholic, and they planned a skiing honeymoon in Norway. Most people don't take 18 trunks when they go on a skiing honeymoon, but my mother did, so it was obvious that they weren't coming back. By that time, England had stopped accepting refugees, particularly Jewish refugees, but basically my mother cried her way through immigration in Newcastle, and they were somehow allowed in. I think it had a lot to do with the close bond that skiers had before the war. The Ski Club of Great Britain was one of the primary organizations controlling skiing, and they were certainly influential in helping my parents get in and settle down.
And tell us about your upbringing. You spoke Czech at home, I gather, because you speak Czech now.
Yeah, I grew up speaking Czech, pre-war Czech. I never learned to write. I never learned the grammar, you know, so it was an unconventional way of learning a language. But it works, and I've never spent more than 10 days in the Czech Republic at one time, and it's nice all these years later to still be able to muddle through. It has numerous advantages, like if we take a taxi around Prague, I chat to the taxi driver in my pre-war Czech, and, you know, he tends to take advantage of tourists, which is a well-known fact. I don't think anybody will dispute that. But once, when we were coming back from an opera, he was so impressed with my Czech that he said he wouldn't charge me any extra. There is the reason why I'm so happy to have the gift.
Was your family's main business producing silk in bulk or producing silk products?
When you say my family, are you talking before the war or after the war?
After the war.
After the war, Zika started out printing anything he could print. In the early days, the company was set up in November 1941 in London, and he didn't have access to too much in those days. There was a little bit of nylon, parachute nylon. There were some rayons. Cotton and silk were kept for export because the pound was under severe stress, particularly after the lend-lease arrangements with the US. They were in debt throughout the war. And the other thing he got hold of was a little bit of very, very flimsy silk that was used to wrap electrical cables, and he taught himself to print on that. He had to work with what was available, and he didn't know from one day to another whether the factories he was using. At that time, he didn't have his own factory. He printed at established British factories. He didn't know from one day to another whether the factory would be standing the next day. So it was an interesting and challenging time. He first started by doing a lot of traditional Czech designs. He printed little headscarves and a few other fabrics. And gradually it expanded. Within a year, he'd increased his turnover multiple times. And then in, I guess it was 1943, where the first person he met who could be called an artist was Felix Topolsky, the Pole, who'd been in England since 1933. Topolsky had a very interesting kind of scribble style of drawing, and Zika immediately saw the potential for both textiles and squares. And he did a series of squares from Topolsky designs, mostly on rayon, because that's all he had available to him in the early days of the war. Topolsky would be very critical of Zika's work. So Zika said to him, you do your own films, which is how you make a textile screen. But Topolsky always said he was too busy. So Zika delegated the job of copying Topolsky's designs onto film to the factory. And then Topolsky would get angry and say, this is not my scribble, this is somebody else's scribble. And they would have a big fight. Topolsky would come to dinner at the Asher flat. They'd have a marvelous, very convivial meal. And then during dessert, he would pull out a letter from a lawyer telling him to stop printing them. So these were the challenges he faced. Then Henry Moore, who'd had a studio in Hampstead at the early part of the war, lost his studio to the Blitz and moved to Much Haddam in Hertfordshire, where he rented a small house and built a studio and gradually took over a large property. And he had lost the ability to sculpt because the British government needed his materials for the war effort, and they wanted to make sure that everybody was treated the same way. So they tried to pacify him by making him a British war artist, and he went back to his first love, which was drawing. And Zika suggested to him that he make a number of designs for textiles.
Was it the case also that Zika tried to collaborate with Picasso, but Picasso was reluctant?
Picasso was Picasso, yeah. He had his own opinions. He wasn't particularly interested in doing something that other artists had done. He thought of himself as unique. And any chance of a cooperation with Picasso, even though Zika came there with a pedigree of French artists who contributed to his project, became a problem when Picasso took a liking to my mother. And so Zika had to choose between getting a design from Picasso and losing his wife. And he clearly chose his wife over a design from Picasso. Picasso did, in fact, do a design in the mid-1950s that Zika was asked to print in an edition of 100. But that really fell outside the Asher Squares collection because it wasn't a direct artist-to-commissioner cooperation.
Is there any chance that these scarves could be reproduced today? Would you have a license
limited
for that?
Limited edition scarves, by definition, are limited. So if you choose to print 350 of a particular scarf design, once you've printed 350, you have to destroy the screens. And Zika kept faithfully to that, and he's occasionally been copied, and he's gone after the people who copied him vigorously because he wanted to protect the investment that the collectors made in buying the limited edition in the first place.
During all the years of communism, could you or your father or your parents come to Czechoslovakia, or did you?
Well, my mother could. She wasn't in business, hadn't run away from a business. She was Catholic, so there were no religious problems. She came back, at least she brought me for the first time, in the summer of 1957. Zika did not come on that trip because there were obvious reasons for not, taking the risk of coming. But on that trip, I got to meet his mother, Anna Kolářová, who was, I guess, about 78 at the time. That was the only time I met any grandparents. She passed away in a road accident in 1961, crossing the street, which was very, very sad. And Zika couldn't even come to her funeral.
Did he come after 89?
He came twice in the 60s, during the Dubček era, once to ski in the winter, and the following summer he water skied. That was the last time I remember him water skiing. He was trying to break longevity records at that time. Then he didn't come again until April of 1990, when we honored him on his 80th birthday by giving him a lunch in Prague. And we were able to find two of his 1936 Olympic teammates, Hromádka and Štvrtečka, who both came long distances, one by bike and one on foot, for the lunch. They hadn't seen each other since 1937, so it was quite a moment. You had these three old men sitting there in like Cornish heavy sweaters, feeling the cold, even though they'd been skiers. And it was just a very sentimental moment.
What does it mean to you and to your family that this major and very impressive exhibition is now on here in Prague?
That I've carried out the pledge that I made to myself after my father died, that I would try and bring my parents back to Prague in a style that was worthy of what they'd accomplished, but that nobody in the Czech Republic knew about, because after, 40 years of fashion magazines that didn't even mention Paris, there was a lot of learning to be done. And I'm just thrilled that we were able to accomplish this goal.